Among the most famous of our country's icons is the Hollywood Walk of Fame, containing more than 2,600 star-shaped pavers with the names of celebrities on them. These stars include nods to infamous Hollywood royalty like Tom Hanks, Carol Burnett, Kermit the Frog, Humphrey Bogart, Pastor Tim's personal favorite, Billy Joel, and of course, the Backstreet Boys. There's an ongoing problem, however, with these stars: maintenance and repair. Pitting, cracking, and ordinary wear and tear caused by foot traffic and weathering requires regular restoration and rehabilitation efforts. In order to maintain each star, the person or the nominating organization must pay upwards of $40,000 for regular upkeep. Compare these stars made of marble, quartz, granite, and brass to the longevity of the stars that shine in the night sky. Some of these cosmic stars are billions of years old. The stars of the Walk of Fame decay after only a few decades, but the stars in the cosmos have shined for generation after generation after generation after generation, and so on. The stars in the heaven are a symbol of perseverance, and they remind us of the expansive nature of the universe. It's easy to look up at the stars and feel utterly insignificant. There are about 100,000 million stars in our galaxy alone. And beyond that, there are millions upon millions of other galaxies, a number that I can't even fathom. The psalmist, upon witnessing the glory of the heavens, exclaimed, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them?" In the incarnation, however, we're reminded just how significant we are, that God would be willing to be found in human form, humbling himself in order to live among us, allowing humanity to put him to death, even a shameful death on a cross. All of this so humanity could be restored to right relationship with their creator and sustainer. You are far from insignificant in God's eyes. Therefore, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling in awe of how God is at work even in us. The section of Philippians that we are focusing on this morning should be read through the lens of Paul's suffering. The Philippians have received word of Paul's imprisonment, so he uses this letter to edify these new followers of Christ in the face of Paul and their own persecution. These poetic words in verses 6 through 11 are steeped in theological meaning, which has led many to mine it for some kind of dogmatic truth. Theologians have gone to these words to look for an answer to the question of incarnation. Is Christ human or divine or both, and to what extent? And what does it mean that Jesus emptied himself? This doesn't seem to be Paul's purpose for sharing these words, however. Rather than laying out some systematic theology for Christ's incarnation, Paul shares these words to give the church in Philippi a model for behavior and faithfulness in the midst of trying times. His encouragement is for the church in Philippi to have the same mind that is in Christ. If Christ suffered but was exalted by God, what can we learn about our own suffering as followers of Christ? Paul's answer: let God be at work in you, just as God was at work in Christ. In so doing, you will stand out and shine. A recent Hollywood blockbuster, the remake A Star is Born, tells the story of a young singer's rise to fame. Lady Gaga plays the part of the young musician mentored by an older musician in a downward spiral. Ironically, Lady Gaga has a rise to fame story in her own right. She rocketed to stardom by being different, making outrageous costumes into a fine art. Her most notorious dress was made from raw meat. But she has also appeared on stage wearing dresses made of clear plastic bubbles, disco mirror balls, and police crime tape. Lady Gaga's voice is acclaimed, but it was her ability to stand out, to be a spectacle, that enabled her to rise to fame, and a star was born. This is not the kind of star that Paul wants the Philippians to be. Hollywood stars often stand out by being cutting edge, artistic, or even strange. Followers of Christ need not try so hard to be a spectacle. Something in who we were made to be and who we are becoming makes us stand out and shine. As a child going to Shepherd Spring Camp each summer, one of my favorite memories involved the cave that was on property. Nature Dave would take us into this cave at some point during the week, and we would explore its dark chimneys, tunnels, and chambers. There was one particularly large chamber in the cave located far enough from the entrance that no natural light could penetrate it. Nature Dave would always take us into this part of the cave and invite us to turn off our flashlights so we could feel the overwhelming presence of complete and utter darkness. But before we would turn off our flashlights, he would hand each of us a mint lifesaver. After sitting in the dark for a while, he would invite us to take the lifesaver in our mouth and chew it with our mouths open, resulting in a visible spark as electrons were crushed and forced out of their atomic fields. This effect was called triboluminescence. There's your word for the day. A small electrical charge that actually takes place when many hard sugar candies are chewed, but the light is so faint that it can only be seen where no or next to no light is present. It can only be seen because it stands out in stark contrast to its surrounding environment. Archbishop Dom Helder Camara once wrote these words, "Why fear the dark? How can we help but love it when it is the darkness that brings the stars to us? What's more, who does not know that it is on the darkest nights that the stars acquire their greatest splendor?" Paul tells the church in Philippi that they should shine like stars in contrast to the dark and crooked world around them. This call to be a light is rooted in Hebrew scriptures, like that of the prophet Isaiah, who spoke of a promised Messiah that would be a great light to the people who walk in darkness. And Daniel, where the wise and righteous stars shine in the sky forever and ever. God also assures Abraham, as a part of their covenant together, that his descendants, who as yet did not exist, would be as numerous and maybe as luminous as the stars. Like the North Star, which can guide a sailor home or the slave to the safety and freedom of the North, those who shine like stars are a beacon in the midst of the blinding, dangerous, and chaotic darkness of human brokenness. In John's Gospel, Jesus calls himself the light of the world, and all those who follow him can be assured that they will never walk in darkness. The light we are to shine is not of our own origin, but is a light we possess by being followers of the light of the world. We need not try so hard to stand out, but like a star who is a spectacle, by simply doing what it was made to do, we are called to live our lives in a way that shines in contrast with the darkness all around. It's not the Jesus bumper sticker, the cross that hangs from our neck, or even our political party that shows others who we are and whose we are. It is also not our inaction and our separation from the world, aching to be amongst the stars in heaven, that shows our difference. Paul says we are to shine like the stars in the cosmos, a term that doesn't allow us to float up to the safety of eternal life in the heavens, but keeps us tethered to the world and all of its problems. Paul grounds us in the here and now, calling us to be like Christ, who was a light that shined for the world, even in the midst of suffering and human sinfulness. The regular rhythms of weekly worship is then like a star recharging station. We come to this place to be re-energized, to sit in collective light and be ready once again to be sent out into the world as a different kind of energy. I am grateful to have spent most of my life with communities that have given me opportunity to remember the light of Christ in my midst. I'm also grateful for the covenant made here today by this congregation to do the same for my beloved daughter. We need each other's encouragement and direction. We shine for one another in the midst of our own moments of darkness and point each other to our common source of light through study and prayer. Some astronomers like to remind us that we are made of star stuff. The nitrogen in our DNA, the calcium in our teeth, the iron in our blood, all were made in the interiors of collapsing stars. Regardless, it is not our biological similarities that enable us to shine. It is in our likeness to Christ and our holding fast to the word of life that we gain a celestial resemblance. God is at work in you, enabling you to look different in a world that is too often dark and broken. But rest assured, the light that shines in the darkness is a light that cannot be overcome. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may give glory to God in heaven. Amen.